الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم As believers, we have the benefit of recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. Nothing happens except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it to happen. And nothing occurs except that Allah permits it to occur. And nothing is decided except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided it. And as believers, we recognize this. And sometimes it's hard to swallow, but it is the reality of the universe around us. So when we look at events, we always interpret those events in the context of this reality, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that decides everything. Beyond that, the other thing that we appreciate is that not only does Allah decide everything, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the protecting friend of the believer, as the ayah, the verse states that I read at the very beginning, or recited at the very beginning, that Allah is the protecting friend of everyone, of each believer. So if you take the first principle, which is that Allah is in charge of everything, Allah decides everything, nothing occurs without Allah's permission, and you take the second principle, which is that Allah is the protecting friend of the believers, then you can kind of summate those and come up with one concept, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always decides what's best for the believer. And if a person can digest that, it brings a tremendous amount of peace into a person's life. Because life is such that there's always ups and downs. But if a person can recognize that every single thing that happens always happens in their favor, everything that happens always happens to their advantage, no matter how it appears to be externally, then a person can achieve tremendous amounts of peace from that. You look at the world around us. By the way, this doesn't only apply to the believer. Yes, there's a special status that the believer has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it even applies to anyone, all of creation. Allah's mercy is always surrounding all of creation. And even the difficulties that creation undergoes are also from the mercy of Allah. Yeah, I could start from the bottom and work our way up. So, you know, just a simple example I'll give you. I was at work a few days ago, and there was a patient who had breast cancer. So she has cancer, okay? And it was a relatively young patient. So I was looking at the history, like, you know, this is a very young patient. How did they figure out that this person has cancer? And it ended up that the story was that the person found out they had cancer because they actually had a miscarriage. So when they had a miscarriage, they came to the hospital. When they came to the hospital, they did like a complete exam of the patient. When they did a complete exam of the patient, they discovered that there was a lump in the patient. When they discovered there was a lump in the patient, they further worked it up and they found that the patient had cancer. Now, you just look at that sequence. I mean, in that sequence, there's so many things that a person could worry about. For example, you know, a person has a miscarriage. So it's actually something that people often are remorseful about. oh, I had a miscarriage. This was a very difficult thing on me. This was something that was very weighty on me. In this particular instance, it turned out to be beneficial for the person. Because, yes, they had a miscarriage, but at the same time, it's because of that miscarriage that this cancer was caught early. And because the cancer was caught early, the patient has a very, very good chance of survival. So it's interesting that what appeared to be so negative initially ended up being something positive. And not only is it true in this case, but it's also true generally. For example, you know, just take, let's go back for a second and take the concept of a miscarriage. So many people will, if you ask anybody, what's your opinion of miscarriage? Everybody will say, oh, miscarriage, it's a very sad event. The person was expecting to have a child. They didn't have a child. It's a very stressful event. But the reality is that when patients have miscarriage, the reason they have a miscarriage is because usually there's a genetic abnormality in the baby. That's really why people, I know people say, oh, you said boo to me, so I got a miscarriage, or, you know, I didn't have my cereal this morning, so I had a miscarriage, or I was, you know, somebody stressed me out, so I had a miscarriage. That's not why miscarriage occurs. Miscarriage occurs because there's a genetic abnormality in the fetus, and the fetus aborts itself. Meaning, it's not itself, obviously, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed genetically that when there is a major abnormality in the fetus, that fetus should abort itself. Now, what's the benefit? The benefit for the individual is that they may not have been able to handle that stress. It's not easy to have a child with a genetic abnormality that is so severe that the fetus should have aborted itself. There are some genetic abnormalities where a child can survive and they end up being a blessing for the family. But in this particular instance, when the abnormality is so severe, maybe a person would not have been able to handle that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if something appears to be quote unquote bad, there's always some good in it. Allah is always merciful to all of creation and the believer in particular. And this is something that we accept and appreciate. We don't get stressed. Now look, the person who doesn't have this belief, the person who doesn't have this concept, when a miscarriage occurs, they freak out. They get panicky, they worry, they start blaming, they wonder why, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that for the believer, they do have a natural emotion that occurs with any loss. That's natural. Person has a loss, they're going to have a natural emotion, they express that emotion. But at the same time, deep inside them, you know, there's something beyond their emotions. Deeper inside them, one level deeper than emotion, is a true understanding that this is what Allah wrote for me, it must be best. It must have been that if I had this child, there would have been some problem that I would not have been able to handle. So, yes, the emotion is natural, but there's that deeper spiritual level. There's that deeper understanding of reality that allows a person to attain some inner peace despite outward turmoil. Now, yeah, like I said, there's going to be natural turmoil. When death occurs, it's natural. Let's say somebody's parents pass away, whatever the age might be. You know, it's more difficult when a person's younger. It's less difficult when a person's older. But eventually, everybody has to pass away, right? So somebody loses, let's say, their parent. Or even more difficult, somebody loses their child. That's a very stressful event emotionally. It's a very stressful event. And if you interact with people who go through that, you just get a feel, not a taste of the reality, just a feel of what that must be like. But if you go one layer beyond that, there's an inner tranquility that arises. There's a depth of tranquility. It goes beyond emotion to the understanding that, or let's say it's founded upon the understanding that Allah always decides what's best. Now, in this context, the passing of a person, then everyone recognizes that this place is a passing place. There is nothing good here, except the fact that we can do good deeds to get something in the hereafter. This is dunya. What does dunya mean? Dunya means the lowest. This is the lowest life. Dunya is like that, you know, EST form. The most, the worst, the least, the lowest. So that's the lowest life can be. That's the lowest existence that we can ever have. Every existence beyond this is higher. So they left the dunya. That's not a big deal. Now, emotionally it's going to be heavy. Naturally there's going to be emotion. But it's underpinned by something. It's underpinned by this reality. So it takes a few days for the emotion to pass, And then the person attains, the person always had peace, but the peace becomes dominant. So no, there is no such thing as loss. There's only gain. That's very important to recognize. There is no such thing as loss. There's only gain. To the extent that if a person gets pricked by a thorn, there's a little bit of pain that's associated with that, but there's a deeper reality in that they recognize that every single harm is a benefit. Even the pricking of a thorn, if it's borne with patience and a person remains patient, they receive a benefit from that as well. So what does it mean? It means there's never a loss for the believer. The believer is always in a state of gain. The believer is always in a state of gain, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the trial. I can tell you countless people come to me with very, very extreme circumstances. Extreme circumstances. And each time, if they're patient, they eventually come to recognize that that extremity was good for them. People come, they've gone bankrupt, or people come and their business failed, or people come and their marriage failed, or people come and their relationship with their children might have failed. But if they bear it with patience and they maintain that underpinning of reality that Allah is in charge and Allah always decides what's best and Allah is my protecting friend, they always come out ahead. Invariably, when I see them a year, two, three, four later, they usually will turn to me and say, you know, there was some blessing in that. Now I appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it on that day. I've seen people go to jail and then they come out of jail and then they become very pious. You know, these are very honorable people. We're interacting with honorable people in our society. We're not interacting with criminals. I've seen honorable people have to go to jail. They come out 16 months later. They have a chance to reflect. They reset their life. They become much more pious. They start practicing much more. And then I've spoken to them 3-4 years later and I see the change in their life. And then then the reality hits you that this jail for this few, you know, short period of time was better than going to jail in the hereafter. Yeah, it's embarrassing. They make a mistake. They have to make tawbah. They obviously shouldn't have been in that position. But in the end, Allah always, always, always wants what's best for the believer. Allah always writes what's best for the believer. Even the believer that's having difficulty submitting to their Lord. So long as there's some belief in their heart somewhere, it's always decided in that way. So there is never a loss. A person loses a job, a person loses their bank account, or they lose something that quote unquote seems to be of value, or they get in some kind of car accident or whatever it might be. There's always this underpinning that yes, there's an emotional stress associated with this, but the reality is that if I come through this, I will only be further dependent on my Lord. And it's that dependency on Allah that actually leads to the eventual gain. That's actually the reality. That every loss is a new opportunity to turn back to Allah, which in the end is a gain. Because without those stresses, we wouldn't turn to Allah. If we didn't have those stresses in our lives, we would become dependent on ourselves, dependent on the people around us. We would be less likely to turn to our Lord. It's only when a person's on a ship and the ship is about to sink that they turn and make dua. Otherwise, who's going to make dua? Most people don't. Most people don't have that depth of ibadah. They have to be put in trial. They have to be put in tribulation. It forces them to turn back to Allah. And when it forces them to turn back to Allah, that difficulty becomes a gain. And you'll see it's people in stress and difficulty that tend to be more reliant on their Lord. And it's people in abundance and in what appears to be ease that become much less dependent on their Lord. Much less dependent on their Lord. So this is something that we have to recognize and we have to appreciate and we should be thankful for. We should be patient with. That every single loss is actually an opportunity for gain. Every single difficulty is actually a chance to be patient. Every single stress is a chance to turn back to Allah. And that's something that we have to digest, and that brings peace. Now, look, when a person undergoes a stress, there's two components to that stress. The first is the actual stress itself and the emotional toll that it takes on a person. That's very passing. It's a blip. It comes and goes. You know, there's a death. It takes a few days. Maybe it takes a few weeks. Eventually, the memories are there, and the memory of the death disappears. And a person begins to be able to handle that. That's the first hit. That's the natural hit. The second hit that arises with the stress is that it can also depress a person because they're not able to manage it because they don't have this underpinning of deen. So the first hit is natural. Everyone faces that. The second hit, which puts a person down and makes it difficult for them to stand back up, that's the hit that's avoided by having reliance on Allah. Because eventually, when the natural emotions subside, then the person's reliance on Allah becomes forward. And that allows them to wake up the next day, to put a smile back on their face, to be able to carry that stress through, and to be able to get to the end of that path. There is no achieving the goals of deen without being stressed by our Lord, without having trials and tribulations. There is no such path to Allah. The path to Jannah is studded with thorns. If the path is easy, then the question is, where is it going? If the path is easy, then the question should be asked, where is it going? Every person who strives to attain something in their deen will be tested. That's the nature of achieving something in deen. And it's in the context of that test that we're being asked, how reliant are we on our Lord? The more we rely on Allah, the more we turn to Allah, the more we are patient and have sabr, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates us, the deeper a connection we develop with Him. And it's that which allows us to pass through that test and the subsequent tests. So this is something that all of us should be aware of. We cannot avoid it. No one can avoid tests. And they come in all flavors. They come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. And they are actually a sign of faith. They are a sign of faith. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to recognize that He is in absolute control, and that He is the one that makes all decisions, and that nothing occurs without His permission. And may He make us among those who are able to appreciate that He indeed is the protecting friend of each believer. Wa akhirat da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.